With the overnight, we did have some rain-snow mixture, and with that, brings some icy conditions to Interstate 80. The Iowa State Patrol is reporting three accidents have occurred between mile marker 71 and 73, or between Anita and Adair. No injuries have yet been reported, and stay tuned for further information as it becomes available. Meanwhile, deputies arrested a Red Oak woman early this morning on a pair of charges. Montgomery County reports 35-year-old Allison Mary Rule was charged with first offense operating while intoxicated and unlawful possession of prescription medication, both serious misdemeanors. Rule was also cited for possession of an open container of alcohol. Rule was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $1,000 bond. An Atlantic man was arrested Friday morning on a charge of public intoxication. The Atlantic Police Department says 24-year-old Levi Stice was booked into the Cass County Jail. Judge in Pottawatomie County on Thursday sentenced a Council Bluffs man to serve 10 years in prison for a conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine. 48-year-old Ronald Wayne Schenck was also ordered by the United States District Court Judge Stephanie M. Rose to serve a consecutive term of 5 years in prison for possession of a firearm in relation to drug trafficking. Schenck's term of imprisonment is to be followed by 5 years of supervised release. U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa says during the course of the investigation, law enforcement served a search warrant at Schenck's residence in Council Bluffs on April 17th of last year. The search produced over 1 kilogram of methamphetamine, over $10,000 in cash, and 10 firearms. Law enforcement also located drug trafficking paraphernalia, including digital scales, multiple cellular phones, drug notes, and surveillance equipment. Schenck entered a guilty plea to the charges on October 2nd of last year. Investigation was conducted by the Southwest Iowa Narcotics Task Force, Mills County Sheriff's Office, Council Bluffs Police Department, and Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. The case was prosecuted by the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. Police in Glenwood report the arrest on Wednesday of a man and woman from Nebraska on forgery and other charges. Officers responded to the Baumgar store in Glenwood at around 1:10 Wednesday afternoon following a report of a subject attempting to use a fraudulent check. After investigation revealed other alleged illegal activity, 31-year-old Michael Dyer of Omaha was arrested for ongoing criminal conduct, conspiracy to commit felony forgery, 3 counts of forgery, and theft in the third degree. 33-year-old Danielle Darling of Bellevue, Nebraska was also arrested for conspiracy to commit felony forgery, and third degree theft. Both subjects were taken to the Mills County Jail, where Dyer's bond has been set at $47,000 and Darling was being held on $12,000 bond. Astronaut and Southwest Iowa native Peggy Whitson is being assigned to another 6-month mission aboard the International Space Station, which will be her third trip in orbit. Whitson has already spent 377 days in space, more than any other woman. She's thrilled by the chance to return. The space station has grown in size with several additions since Whitson was last there back in 2007.
The U.S. has scientific facilities in both the European and the Japanese laboratory, so it'll give me a lot more places to do different science. And then most importantly, the cupola was added on since I was there last, and I'm looking forward to the view from the cupola.
Whitson is a Beaconsfield native and a Mount Airy graduate and turned 55 this week. She was the space station's first science officer, its first woman commander. She also set records for spacewalks for a woman and most days in space for a woman. Also holds 2 patents for her work in biomedical research. In an interview, she was asked if there's one accomplishment for which she's most proud.
I feel really lucky and honored to have had an opportunity to be in the right place at the right time for all these things. Any one of them, the opportunity to live in space for over a year is a very special one. And I'm really excited about the opportunity to get to live up there another 6 months.
During one of her previous missions, Whitson did a little space farming as she grew soybeans in the lab. There are certain to be more experiments involving plans in her upcoming mission, but the details are still in the distance.
You can't set your mind too much on the specifics of the mission in advance, because the one thing that is for sure is it will change what the mission will be. And I think you have to be able to be flexible enough to go with the flow and adjust your expectations as you're going along.
Since America's space shuttle program is over and the replacement spacecraft is still in the testing phase, Whitson and 2 crewmates will blast off in December of 2016 aboard a Soyuz rocket from a Russian launch pad. Relations between the U.S. and Russia are strained right now given the Ukraine situation, but Whitson is not worried about diplomatic issues overshadowing or threatening her mission.
The international partnership is stronger than the political issues that are going on right now. And what's really great is, you know, the crew members on board, you know, this is your family, you live with them, and it doesn't matter. The politics on Earth don't matter.
Training for the next mission won't be a breeze, but she anticipates it will be easier since she's already gone through the process twice before. Largest utility provider in Iowa is warning customers about a phone scam. Mid-American Energy spokesperson Ashton Newman says 1,500 customers contacted the utility to report receiving a suspect call in 2014.
The good news is the majority of our customers appear to not be falling for these scams, and they are hanging up and calling our customer service number to report them.
Of the 1,500 customers who contacted Mid-American about receiving suspect call last year, just over 40 of those customers reported losing money or disclosing personal information to the scammer. Newman says the scam artist claiming to work for Mid-American is typically persistent and demands money by threatening to cut off utility services.
And generally, they ask the customer to pay them over the phone by either calling a special toll-free number or by providing a credit card number or prepaid debit card, often sometimes referred to as a green dot card.
Thieves often go as far as to make it appear to caller ID systems that the scam call is coming from the utility. Scammers can be aggressive, which Newman says is not a technique an actual Mid-American Energy employee would use.
And we also never ask for credit card numbers or any personal account numbers or information over the phone. So that's kind of the first red flag.
Customers who receive a call threatening immediate disconnection, Newman says they should hang up immediately and call Mid-American Energy customer service at 1-888-427-5632 and notes that Mid-American Energy makes several attempts to contact customers regarding overdue bills. Disconnection is a last resort and not a first step in the process. John Deere recently laid off hundreds of workers in the Midwest, but it has added jobs to its factory in Dubuque, where the company manufactures huge vehicles for construction and forestry. Last month, the company announced the layoff of 910 workers at five locations in Iowa and Illinois, citing a reduced demand for farming equipment as the reason. But the Dubuque Telegraph Herald reports that John Deere Dubuque Works has added more than 100 jobs since late 2014. General Manager Byron Taylor says this addition brings the total number of people working at the Dubuque site to 2,500. Taylor says the rollout of new bulldozer models and forestry machines, which hit the market in January, have contributed to the company's strong growth in a new customer segment. KJAN News Time is 7:13. Funeral notices for today. Jack Fulk, 86, of Anita, died Tuesday at Caring Acres in Anita. Funeral services for Jack Fulk will be 10:30 today, the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Dorothy E. Chipman, 95, of Harlan, died February 4th in Harlan. Funeral services for Dorothy Chipman will be 10:30 today at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Darwin Peterson, 84, of Tucson, Arizona, and formerly of Elkhorn, died January 10th in Tucson. Services for Darwin Peterson will be held at 11 o'clock today at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church in Elkhorn. Odie Funeral Home in Kimpleton has the arrangements. Harry Vernon Wetzel, Jr., 91, of Wisconsin, died February 6th. Memorial services for Harry Vernon Wetzel, Jr. will be today at 11 o'clock at the Church of Christ in Irwin. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Evelyn Jean Kessler, 93, of Wyota, died Wednesday at her daughter's home in rural Wyota. Gravesite services for Evelyn Kessler will be 2 o'clock today at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Leonard J. Herbst, 74, of Harlan, died Tuesday in Harlan. Masonic services for Leonard Herbst will be 7 o'clock this evening at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Betty Clucky, 85, of Carroll, died Thursday morning at St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. Mass of the Christian burial for Betty Clucky will be 10:30 Monday at the St. Lawrence Church in Carroll. Odie Funeral Home has the arrangements. Larry Edward Jacobson, 73, of Walnut, died Thursday at home. Celebration of Life service for Larry Jacobson will be 10:30 on Monday, the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Dorothy Rose Sonderman, 97, of Erling, died Tuesday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Mass of the Christian burial service for Dorothy Sonderman will be 10:30 Monday at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Erling. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Violet J. Hilsebeck, 69, of Audubon, died Wednesday. The Manning Regional Healthcare Center funeral services for Violet Hilsebeck will be held 11 o'clock Monday, the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Paul McDaniel, 57, of Atlantic, died February 4th at his home. Denise McDaniel, 57, of Atlantic, died February 5th at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Celebration of Life visitation for Paul and Denise McDaniel will be 11 until 1 p.m. on Tuesday at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Betty Greenwalt, 80, of Fontenelle, died Tuesday at the Greenfield Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center in Greenfield. Memorial services for Betty Greenwalt will be 10:30 Tuesday. The Fontenelle United Methodist Church Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements.